In our transportation sector, we're actually developing digital twins to aid construction workers. So as the crews go out, we're finding giving them a digital twin and actually putting goggles on so they can actually get a better feel for what they'd be doing out in the construction zone. It gets them better prepared, which really improves worker safety.
Welcome to Inflection Points, a podcast series from Jacobs. I'm your host, Stephen Ludwig. That was Raja Kalyada, Vice President, Global Director for Digital Solutions. What if you could predict a problem at a facility before it even happened? It sounds like science fiction, but it is actually cutting-edge technology called digital twins. Raja walks us through how digital twins can be applied to industries and communities, making them safer, increasing efficiency, and improving the environment. It's pretty cool. Inflection Points is where we meet the people of Jacobs that help create solutions that deliver a more connected, sustainable world. Just a quick note, we recorded today's episode at a conference, so you may hear some background noise. With that out of the way, on with the podcast. Raja, what's your background?
So by education, I'm an electrical engineer.
Okay.
I did my bachelor's and master's and PhD all in electrical engineering. Actually specialized in robotics and control theory.
Well, how interesting is that?
It's not your typical background of somebody at Jacobs, yeah.
How did you wind up doing the kind of work you're doing now?
So it was my background within control systems that ended up linking me to CH2M Hill. So I came in through that organization and started off as a control system engineer.
And then you're doing what you're doing now.
Doing what I'm doing now, which is the Global Director for Digital Solutions. We focus on a number of core technologies that include AI, artificial intelligence, data analytics, optimization, control systems as well, and our digital twin efforts as well.
How far is Jacobs and the world with AI? I know there's a lot of talk about it. Is there more talk right now than actual execution, or where do you see it going?
We are implementing AI solutions right now, and there are certainly other companies that may be able to implement AI systems in general. They have more capabilities than us, but our focus is on utilizing AI for the built environment.
Which is, what's a built environment?
A transportation system, a water system, buildings, smart cities. That is where our domain expertise really lies, and our ability to leverage that domain expertise to help train the AI systems is really our differentiator in that space.
So how is AI helping someone run a building or a water plant or something like that?
So we have an effort going on in Australia where they have a chemical dosing system, so something that adds chemicals during the treatment process. And they're being very conservative in terms of the amount of chemicals they use to make sure that they meet the regulations. And it's ending up costing them a fair amount. So we actually have an AI algorithm that's taking a look at the water coming in and doing a real analysis of what you need to do to that water to meet the regulation requirements. And we're saving through that AI algorithm about 12% in chemical
Wow.
usage fees. So that's kind of one way that we can impact the water sector.
That's really fascinating. And it also probably makes it safer for the public having that AI help make decisions based on what data is coming in.
Exactly. You're putting in the right amount of chemicals to treat that current situation or that current the water quality that you have.
You mentioned something earlier about digital twinning. What is a digital twin? It sounds like something out of a creepy horror movie.
And I got to tread lightly here because I'm actually the father of twins. So, a digital twin is a replica of a physical asset, process, or a system where we're able to do scenario analysis, so try out different things in the context of within the digital environment, and then apply them to the physical system, or be able to forecast going forward what may happen to that physical system by, again, looking at the digital replica of that physical system. Or lastly, check for abnormalities. Is there something happening now on the physical system that shouldn't be happening? And we can all do that by running that digital twin in parallel, essentially, to the data that the physical system is receiving.
So if I'm understanding correctly, a digital twin is, do you go in and scan a facility like a water plant or an industrial facility and then digitize it and put it into the computer and make it smart so you can run simulations on the digital twin and then bring that back into the plant?
Yeah, we kind of break things down into three categories. What you just referred to there is something we call a layout digital twin. So it is taking that layout of the plant and being able to digitize it so you can actually have it in the digital format. Then you start getting into something that we call a process digital twin. By being able to actually take a look at the underlying processes that are occurring within that that facility and simulate them, build models of them. The last category for digital twins that we like to use is a data-driven digital twin. So here you have a pile of historical data that you've collected over time, and we utilize that then to build an AI or a neural network a digital twin that's based on the historical data and the outputs that you received with that historical data. So that is totally just looking at the data. And then in that middle tier, we're applying our domain knowledge to build those simulation models for the process digital twin. And in that initial tier, it is that layout, more the design digital twin.
So help me understand what processes you would look at on a digital twin point of view.
So we just talked about that water treatment process as an example. So there we're utilizing our fundamental knowledge of the treatment process and our.
So we'd see the water come in.
Yeah.
It gets tested. You add chemicals. Yeah. It does something else. I don't know anything about water processing. I'm just guessing here. I've been into a wastewater treatment plant, but that's about it.
Well, we know how, given the various water quality scenarios, how we can actually then add the chemicals to mm-hmm. then to bring it into regulatory confines. So our understanding of how the chemicals react with the water and to bring it into the proper range is kind of one element of our domain knowledge in that process side of the fence.
What's another process, like a chemical processing plant would be a similar idea. You know how it gets, if you have X to begin with and you add Y, you know you're going to get Z.
Right.
And you can run that simulation on the computer side.
Right. And what we're doing is we can actually run in the digital side, run a whole bunch of different scenarios in conjunction with what's happening on the physical side. So we can go through 1,000 scenarios and say, gosh, of those 1,000 things that we just ran, what do we really want to do? So we can take the optimal solution of those 1,000 and actually apply that. And then 5 minutes down the road, you do the same thing. So our ability to have that digital replica of the physical system allows us to kind of run all these things faster than real time and then apply them in real time.
That's fascinating. Like you could really make it like, oh, it's shifted in the last 10 minutes. We're going to be shift now. And you run the X number of scenarios in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's very interesting. The data digital twin sounds also really interesting, especially for companies with a lot of legacy information. Either digitized or not digitized, and you help them out with that. That sounds like big data and data mining. How do you help clients with figure out what they've got and what that stuff tells them?
Well, it's interesting. If you take a look at the machine learning pipeline. So what is the process to actually get a machine to learn? 70% of the effort is with what I call almost data wrangling. So it is getting that data into the proper format, doing the proper QA, QC, doing something called labeling.
Is QA, QC quality control?
Exactly.
Quality control.
Exactly, making sure that we have quality data to drive that machine learning process. And then another element is called data labeling, where we have data and then a certain outcome. So we want to define that outcome. So we've labeled that outcome associated to that input data. So getting into that format, oftentimes is 70% of the effort. Actually training it once you have that data, these days is down to almost a click of the button, and then it comes, and then it becomes validation to make sure that the model actually fits. So we can certainly help a client kind of sort through that data wrangling process to be able to then properly train a system.
Of these three areas we talked about that you shared with us, the layout digital twin, the process digital twin, and the data digital twin, how do you see any, you can pick any one because that's a lot, what are some industries that haven't taken advantage of it yet that could?
Well,
all of them.
Yeah, all of them definitely can benefit from these various incarnations of a digital twin. Some industries have jumped more on the bandwagon. When you think about our work in advanced facilities for like life sciences or the electronic sector, when you take a look at their processes, anytime they have downtime, well, that's costing money. They're not making product. So you do have application of some of these elements to start detecting when something's going to fail before it actually fails, and give you time to actually go in there and do some maintenance to avoid the longer downtime. We had a situation for a client in the Phoenix area where they had a repeated failure of a particular critical asset. So we were able to go in and identify what was leading up to that failure and actually give them upwards of a 50-day notice.
Wow.
That something was going awry so that they could actually go in and do some maintenance to avoid that downtime.
You mentioned a number of things where digital twinning can help companies, industrial areas with layout design and layout digital twin. You can help them figure out how the plant operates, and you talked about processing design, digital twinning, and how that helps, and the data digital twin. What are some challenges that clients are facing? Are these digital twins helping solve?
Sure. You know, one thing that we haven't talked about is how we utilize digital twins within buildings. We're actually able to model pedestrian flow through a building. And while we're in there during the design phase, modify the design, be able to change things around if we see excessive queuing or blockage. We want to make sure that if there's an emergency that everybody can evacuate a sports stadium, as an example. An effort we did for the Pentagon, we applied that digital twin into the simulation technology to be able to reduce queue times at any of their major tech points down to 2 minutes. So you're talking about a huge facility with a lot of traffic flow coming through. So here's where you can really start affecting things early on in the design phase by having that digital twin in place.
I could see that being a transportation thing as well, like figuring out rush hour and traffic light timing and that sort of thing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, so at the front end, we can do so many things during the design phase to look at different scenarios. The realm of scenarios that you can look at now, as opposed to in the past, is really expanding, and that's how the digital twin is applying itself during the design phase. And then when we get to that operation phase, then we can actually start monitoring the system and looking for abnormalities through the digital twin as well. So you can kind of see how it starts touching the different components of the life cycle of an asset.
Where do you see this technology going forward in the next 5 or 10 years? Anything beyond that's kind of hard to guess, but yeah. This digital twinning effort.
Well, the application of these digital twins in real time. Some of the simulation models that get utilized are great for scenario analysis, but being able to apply it in real time is a little challenging because it takes some time for some of these models to actually spit out numbers. So we're looking at how we can link IoT data, so data coming from sensors, in real time as a starting point.
IoT meaning
Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. So sensors that are feeding in information about the environment, traffic flow, water quality, etc. So if we can have those coming in real time, then we can convert those digital twins into AI models, neural network models, that are starting with that sensor input, and then being able to project out for the next 10 minutes what's going to be happening and go through all those scenarios very quickly. And then we redo that in another 10 minutes because we get another batch of data from those sensors that allows us to kind of recalibrate things and again look over for the next 10 minutes. Historically, you wouldn't have been able to do that because if you run those AI models over a very long period of time, they tend to drift. So here we're kind of recalibrating very quickly. So it allows us to use those models that we can run much faster without the drift concerns, which we historically would have had to have done through those more deep simulation models.
So for example, if I'm hearing you correctly, I could be a city manager anywhere in the world, and we've got all my traffic information plugged in, and the lights are plugged in, we have the sensing the cars, and I could change how the traffic lights are working in real time to deal with certain traffic conditions.
Exactly. And you know, what's going to be happening is the infrastructure is going to start talking to the cars as well. So as I'm driving along, the posted speed limit may be 45 miles an hour, but we'll actually be able to tell a car, hey, go ahead and slow down to 30 miles an hour, because that's going to improve the overall flow, because we're not getting in these stop and go, accelerate, decelerate situations, which also has an incredible impact on the pollution within the city. And all these things really start tying together. Our ability to manage that flow by having those sensors, by having the AI, and being able to communicate back to the vehicles, either a driver or an autonomous vehicle, we're really being able to impact the overall environment within a city.
It sounds like something really exciting to work on.
You know, and that's what has kept me here at Jacobs, being able to make impactful changes in society.
So it sounds like digital twinning is a really good way to save money in the long run. What are the type of savings you're seeing facilities see, either water, wastewater, or industrial facility or something else?
So it all depends on the particular use case. I mean, we did talk about the water example, where we're saving 12% in energy
and that's
chemical consumption.
That's significant for a large processing. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the other element that you can always look at is energy consumption. So we've had situations where we've been able to save 20% in terms of electrical consumption on an effort down in Dallas. And that ended up being over $1 million in a year. So that 20% really adds up. If you take a look at California, the largest user of electrical energy is actually moving water around the state. It's quite intriguing. So if we can optimize through a digital twin, kind of that movement, still meet the demands and curb that electricity use, that has huge impacts to the utility.
But also you mentioned the environment part. If you're using less energy, that's better for the environment as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something is out there generating that electricity. So unless you're totally on renewables, there's an impact there as well.
How does digital twinning help a company or a government agency with safety concerns?
So in our transportation sector, we're actually developing digital twins to aid construction workers. So as the crews go out, we're finding giving them a digital twin and actually putting goggles on so they can actually get a better feel for what they'd be doing out in the construction zone. It gets them better prepared, which really improves worker safety. So we can be really impactful in terms of our clients and their crews out there. We can also start doing studies in terms of, hey, you know, if we add additional lighting here on this curve, or if we bank this slightly different, how does that impact the driver safety on that stretch of road? Again, it's going through the ability to go through all those scenarios, many more scenarios that we could have done in the past during that design phase when we can impact it.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. Why do you think some people are not using this technology that's available? Is it price? Is it they're not familiar with it? Is it some other reason?
I think it's a familiarity, and whenever you're introducing change in a process, there's always a little bit of resistance. So getting some of those lighthouse examples that we just talked about out there and communicating will begin to shift that resistance.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about the switch from 4G cellular service to 5G service, and there's been a lot of hype around it. But is that technology going to help make digital twins better or more effective? And if so, how so?
Well, if we can start getting more real-time data fed in, that certainly helps drive that utilization of those kind of data-driven AI models that we're beginning to link into digital twins. The other element that comes into play is with the difference between, one of the differences between 5G and 4G is the what's referred to as the communication latency. So that's the delay in getting data from one point to the other. That has drastically shrunk when you take a look at 5G networks. So the reduction of that latency also helps us with regards to the digital twin if we want to go ahead and apply real-time control or real-time activation of assets.
Why is that latency such a big deal?
Well, if we have autonomous vehicles and if we're driving from a latency of hundreds of milliseconds, and then we're able to bring that down into a handful of milliseconds, that has a huge impact in terms of you dealing with icy road conditions or other situations that really require a quick turnaround on that communication cycle.
Why is this digital twin, all the work that you're doing, important for Jacobs?
So as Jacobs really wants to help out in that connected enterprise scenario, the digital twin is an incredibly important piece because it really does allow us to embody all our domain expertise in these digital twins and allows us to provide clients with that embodiment of our domain expertise to then be able to help drive different outcomes for them. So it when we think about how we can impact our clients, it is our domain expertise and utilizing that and encapsulating that in the digital twins really does provide that value.
And it does sound like it touches, you mentioned government, so the Pentagon. I'm sure there's a bunch of other things we didn't talk about, air transportation and that sort of thing. And then traffic we've talked about, and we talked about water, even moving water around, how they can be, how you treat water. You mentioned the Australian thing. I mean, it seems to have this massive impact that we don't know the end of what the digital twinning can help with.
Yeah, you'll eventually see a point where a majority of the systems are buildings and facilities within a city have some sort of digital twin, and think about the emergency preparedness elements of that. Gosh, you know, when Houston had the flooding from a few years ago, that was all unexpected. They didn't think that would be hitting Houston the way it ended up hitting them. So going through having a digital twin of all their assets or facilities to understand how they could properly evacuate, how they could potentially hold back some of what was hitting them. The scale of this and down the road is going to be incredible.
So it sounds like it can help with safety, help with environment, and quality of life, especially with traffic, and it just, there's all sorts of applications. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, help on the commercial side, the pharmaceutical production, the semiconductor fabrication, a lot of different use cases that we really can apply the digital twins for.
Now, is there anything I forgot to ask you about? Because you're the expert in digital twinning and I am not.
So, you know, what does it take to actually develop and implement a digital twin? We have expertise around the globe that we end up leveraging. Depending on the use case or the particular market segment, we may bring in a transportation engineer that kind of understands some of the underlying dynamics in there. If it's a pharmaceutical processing line, we're able to bring in that domain expertise to be able to kind of define, again, the dynamics that we can then utilize within the digital twin. So the unique thing that Jacobs has is that global reach across all these various resources to be able to bring them in and help our clients. And as we span across all these sectors that we just talked about, having that capability to be able to define the digital twins is pretty darn important.
That sounds really interesting. Where can people find out more information about this?
So there's a lot of great content on Jacobs.com, and we continue to put more out there all the time.
Great. Thank you. This is super interesting. Thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Inflection Points, a podcast series from Jacobs. To find out more, please visit jacobs.com. Jacobs, challenging today, reinventing tomorrow.